Radio is a great medium for lots of things. And one of the first things it was used for in the 30s and 40s was to create dramas. And going back even further, his William Shakespeare, we're going to combine two of these early experiences this morning when you get a chance to hear Steel City Shakespeare and performances, some excerpts from their performance, and which is very interesting because we'll talk to them about this, but if my memory is correct, to make this work, they each have to play multiple roles, which is kind of interesting to think about. I now am looking through pieces of paper. Ah, there it is. Every piece of paper I've used this morning was in front of me, except the one that I needed, but now here it is. I want you to meet the cast before they perform for you. And we'll start. I'll let you introduce yourself.
Okay, I'm the Amy McMasters, and I'm playing Benedict, Verges, and the Friar.
So you have three different parts.
Right.
How many roles are in the whole play? Is it
About 19, I think.
19 altogether, and there's just five of you. We've got the whole troupe here today. Tell me a little bit about your childhood, your career. Take us roughly from kindergarten through today.
So I was actually just talking with some of the cast last night about my first Shakespeare experience. So this, I think maybe I was like about 8 years old, and my brother and I sort of discovered Midsummer Night's Dream, and we thought it was so cool that we decided to memorize the entire thing and perform it with stuffed animals. So we set up his bunk bed with like a sheet draped in the front for a curtain, and we performed it for our parents, and we were very proud of ourselves. We mispronounced some words, but we actually did know the whole play. So yeah, I mean, I guess I've come a lot, skipped several years into now. This is actually, it makes me think of that a lot, just because of all the crazy doubling. I mean, it's not two people doing an entire play, but it's five. So, just a lot of different characters and very few people.
I saw that play when I was, I think, about 10, and I really liked it.
Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yeah, it was Amy's version with the stuffed animals, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. I was there, Amy, watching it.
Interesting, creepy, actually. But
yeah, but very creepy for oh so many reasons. In a prior life, I saw it. Where did you grow up?
In Medina, Ohio.
And did you go to school for acting, or?
I didn't. I went to Duquesne for vocal performance and English literature.
Wow, those are. That has to help you a lot in what you're doing. And I ask that question because there's so many pathways to professional theater, and I want to be sure people have a sense of what to do. Mm-hmm. Any acknowledgments you'd like to pass along while we're focused on you? Maybe none.
I guess my brother that I did Midsummer Night's Dream with, he who also loves Shakespeare.
Oh,
so.
What's his name?
David Dick.
Well, I hope David's listening, and if he's not, you can send him the link to this
All
when
right,
it's
I will.
Available. Let's next meet Brittany. Hello.
Hello.
And can you tell me a bit about yourself?
Yeah. My name's Brittany Tagg, and in this production of Much Ado, I play Hero Antonio Don John Balthazar, The Watch, and Margaret.
Six?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I play the most characters, I believe.
Which one is the most like you, do you think?
Margaret.
And why so?
Well, when you hear some scenes, you'll really hear that she's a handmaiden to Hero, so I'm in a lot of scenes talking to myself as two different people. And she's the one that really says it like it is and has a little bit of sass. She's a little promiscuous. No, I'm kidding.
No.
I'm not like her. I just think she's funny. She's the funnest to play, is what I meant to say.
Yeah, I was thinking about lots of things on this family show. tell me about, where are you from originally?
I'm from here. I grew up in Pittsburgh.
Whereabouts?
So I grew up in the Oakmont, Verona area, and then I attended Kappa High School, where I was a musical theater major, went on to Clarion University, where I received a BFA in acting, and then was over in the West Coast for a while, and now I'm back.
That's great. Anybody you want to acknowledge or say hello to?
I'll say hello to my Shakespeare professor from college, Robert Bullington,
for
teaching me about this stuff and really building a bridge to where we are today, I think.
Yeah. And let's, you might want to say hi to Amy's brother, too. Why
hey,
not?
Amy's brother.
I mean,
David,
nice
right?
to meet
yeah,
you.
It's David. Now we have Michael Young, Pittsburgh Musical Theater alum.
I was. That was the last time I was here.
Yeah. Tell me about yourself, Michael.
My name is Michael. And in this production, I am playing Beatrice, Leonato, Conrad, and the Watch. So that's one, two, three, four.
So you both are playing the Watch.
Tim is also a member of the Watch, but he has a name.
Ah. Okay. Now, Beatrice sounds like a woman.
Beatrice is the woman. Leonato is her uncle.
Okay, so you're playing the woman and the woman's uncle.
Mm-hmm.
A family resemblance, maybe. It would have to be, since they're both played by you.
And Brittany plays my daughter, and I think we're the most alike as we play a family. We play the entire family ourselves.
Which character, I won't ask you which character you're most like, unless you want to talk about.
I think that there's a big difference between Beatrice and Leonato. They're the two that are the heftiest characters, and I think that Leonato is much older and of a certain demeanor, and Beatrice presents herself in a different way that's more relatable to a younger person, I think.
It's been a long time since I've seen the play. Any acknowledgments you'd like to make?
I know one person is listening, so what's up, Karen? Karen Hannon.
Hi, Karen.
Karen's great. Karen is one of my biggest supporters of everything that I do, and she always is sort of paying attention.
And you're from Pittsburgh originally. Where did you grow up?
I grew up on the west side of the city, and I went to Our Lady of the Sacred Heart High School in Coriopolis. And then I went to Allegheny College, and then I traipsed around a little bit. Now I'm back.
Excellent. Pittsburgh Musical Theater is back is on the West End, in the West End, too, which is kind of neat. Let's turn to Mr. Chips, Jeffrey.
Hello.
Jeff Chips. And tell us about your role in all of this.
I am playing Don Pedro and Dogberry. I am also the director of the production and the artistic director of Steel City Shakespeare.
And what is it like to... direct? Is it typical that you have multicasting like this?
For me, yeah, usually. I think the largest cast I've directed in the last several years was King Lear with Pittsburgh Shakespeare in the Park, and I did it with eight. That was last summer. But yeah, everything I've done with Steel City Shakespeare has been between four and five actors.
And I know all the performances we'll be talking about today are all outdoors. Are most of your performances outdoors as a company?
This is the first time, actually. Everything we've done up until now has been indoors. So we're taking a gamble with the weather this weekend.
Yeah. I don't know. I've had so many occasions where I've had these ominous forecasts, and then I get home and the weather really is not nearly as bad. I think with the thunderstorms, it's just really hard to tell this time of year.
Yeah.
Do you have roles in the play as well?
Yes, I play Don Pedro and Dogberry.
You're limited to two. So
yeah,
I
play a messenger in two scenes as well, but I just tend not to list that because he doesn't have a name.
There are no small parts, only...
just very, very short people.
Anybody you'd like to
acknowledge? I don't know if they're listening right now because they're doing T-ball right now in Westview. My wife, Megan, and my two sons, Samuel and Isaac, who all surprised me last night, came to the show in Troy Hill, and my two boys were very, very well behaved, so I appreciated that.
Terrific. And finally, we're going to get a chance to meet Tim Barr. Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks. Tell me a bit about yourself, if you can.
Yeah. So my name is Tim. I'm not from Pittsburgh originally. I'm here as a graduate student studying at the University of Pittsburgh. So this is my first production that I've been in, and it's been really great to work with Steel City Shakespeare. I play four characters also. I'm Claudio. I am Baraccio, Ursula, and Seacole, who's the named character on the Watch.
He can write and read.
He can write and read.
But he's the only member of the Watch that can write and read? Or were you talking about Tim?
I don't know. We know he can read. I don't know if he can write.
So, Tim, are you studying acting at Pitt?
I'm not, actually. I'm in the communication department, and I do study early modernity, and so there's some Shakespeare in my dissertation, but that's kind of why I got interested in this. And my acknowledgement would be to Felicia, my girlfriend, who works here at the Children's Museum, actually, but also she met Jeff and told me about this opportunity, so I decided to take it.
Yeah, I think I now know who she is.
Yeah.
How long have you been in Pittsburgh?
Oh, this is my fourth year here.
Okay. Has the city grown on you?
Oh, definitely. Definitely, yeah.
It can be a tough first city, depending.
When I first got here, I saw a poetry reading, and I saw the poet afterwards around, and they were like, I was like, oh, this is a great city. And they're like, yeah, you'll gain 15 pounds, but you'll love it. So, and that's proven true. That's proven true.
It probably is. That's probably very true. What he didn't tell you, your friend, is that's per year. Well, if you're just joining us, we have Steel City Shakespeare, Michael Makeda, longtime listener, is here with us, too, who I think helps with your outreach efforts. And we will have time for four scenes. Now, as we get ready for the first scene, let me make it clear to you, they opened last night. The good news is there are seven more performances to come today at 1 o'clock at Millvale Community Library, and then tonight at 6 at Troy Hill Citizens Park, and tomorrow at 1 at that same park, and then on June 10th and June 11th at 6 at Heathside Cottage, and then June 11th at 1 once again at Millvale Community Library. So if you don't catch them today, you can catch them next Saturday. And then they close. What an interesting location they picked to close the production. They will be at, you say Wiggle, and I say Wiggle Whiskey. Everybody says it differently. Wiggle Whiskey is how I say it. The Barrel House location, they'll be there June 16th at 6 o'clock. There's actually reasons to believe that the original family they're named for pronounced it both ways. So. I'll say Wiggle today, maybe Wiggle next week. So can one of you, I guess, Jeffrey,
sure.
What's the first scene you'll do?
Sure. The first scene we'll do is a little excerpt from Act 1, Scene 1. It'll be the introduction of Beatrice and Benedick. And if you haven't noticed already, so we have Beatrice is played by Michael Young, and Benedick is played by Amy McMasters. Usually you'll see this performed with a male as Benedick and a female as Beatrice. And just to add some flavor, we flop those back and forth. And so Amy is playing the male and Michael is playing the female. And so I will turn this over to them. And they'll just give you a short introduction of these two characters.
I wonder that you will still be talking, Signor Benedick. Nobody mocks you.
What, my dear Lady Disdain, are you yet living?
Is it possible that Disdain should die when she hath met food defeated as Signor Benedick?
But it is certain I am loved of all ladies, only you excepted, and I would I could find it in my heart that I had not a hard heart, for truly I love none.
A dear happiness to women, they would else have been troubled with a pernicious suitor. I thank God and my cold blood that I am of your humor in this, for I'd rather hear my dog bark at a crow than a man swear he loves me.
God keep your ladyship still in that mind, so some gentleman or other shall scape a predestinate scratched face.
Scratching could not make it worse than 'twere such a face as yours.
Well, you are a rare parrot, teacher.
A bird of my tongue is better than a beast of yours.
I would my horse had the speed of your tongue, and so good a continuer, but keep your way in God's name, I have done.
You always end with the jade's trick. I know you of old.
Steel City Shakespeare scene from Much Ado About Nothing. It's really fun to listen. And, you know, these performances are free, and they are really easy to enjoy and really can be enjoyed by people of all ages. I know growing up, my parents, we went to the Shakespeare festivals in Stratford, near, in Ontario, probably 7 or 8 times, and it gave me a lot of appreciation for Shakespeare. The troupe is negotiating, and they're synchronizing their scripts to figure out the next scene that they're about to do. And I'm going to turn to Jeff and ask you to tell us
sure.
what's next.
Okay, so this will be a little bit later in Act 1, Scene 1, and this will introduce Claudio, played by Mr. Tim Barr here. And he's talking to Benedick about Hero, who is played by Brittany Teague, and describing his love for Hero as really just, I think that's the first time we hear from Claudio in the play. So I'll hand it over to you.
Benedick, didst thou note the daughter of Signor Leonato?
I noted her not, but I looked on her.
Is she not a modest young lady?
Do you question me as an honest man should do for my simple, true judgment, or would you have me speak after my custom as being a professed tyrant to their sex?
No, I pray thee, speak in sober judgment.
Why, in faith, methinks she's too low for a high praise, too brown for a fair praise, and too little for a great praise. Only this commendation can I afford her, that were she other than she were unhandsome, and being no other but as she is, I do not like her.
Thou thinkest I am in sport. I pray thee, tell me truly how thou likest her.
Would you buy her that you inquire after her?
Can the world buy such a jewel?
Yea, and a case to put it into.
In mine eye, she's the sweetest lady e'er I looked upon.
I can see yet without spectacles, and I see no such matter. There's her cousin, and she be not possessed with a fury, exceeds her as much in beauty as the first of May doth the last of December, but I hope you have no intent to turn husband, have you?
I would scarce trust myself, though I had sworn the contrary, if Hero would be my wife.
Is it come to this? In faith, hath not the world one man, but he will wear his cap with suspicion? Shall I never see a bachelor of 80 again?
There they are, Steel City, Shakespeare Company. We're going to talk with Jeff Chips a little bit about his philosophy behind the show. And before we do that, I'm just going to give you a quick reminder that our Youth Express service will broadcast live from tomorrow's summer reading extravaganza at Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh in Oakland. Rain or shine, this free event features a wide range of activities for kids and families, as well as an opportunity to celebrate the joy of summer reading. You can join us for our live webcast at youthexpress.org. Catch the future. Today through June 19th, from 1 to 4 daily, our studios are open at the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh to make a one-of-a-kind Father's Day gift. Weekdays and Saturdays, you can make an audio CD card featuring an interview or a song that you can sing. You can decorate the card, take it home that day as a gift. On Sundays, you can create and frame a voice print featuring the unique waveform of your own voice. Cost is $15 for materials, including tax. Proceeds benefit SLB programs for youth. This project is made possible with major support from PACE, Pre-K for PA, the Ellis School, and additionally, with support from Conley, Steele and Company, and Pearson and Scott. Thank you for being with us. And let me turn to Jeff. And, you know, Shakespeare, it's nice. I was trying to think of the right word. I was going to say is ubiquitous, but I don't quite mean that. But he turns up in a lot of places, his work.
Yeah.
And in a lot of unexpected places, certainly traditional spaces. But here, all five of you, and only five of you, are going to be in a whiskey garden. You're going to be at a library. You're going to be at a public park. It's pretty cool. How do you pull this off?
Yeah, it's, you know, the kind of the idea behind this was to figure out, where can we get a production? Where can we do this where maybe people who wouldn't have normally gone to a theater or said they were ever interested in Shakespeare would want to come out and see this because it's really intimate. It's in something, it's in a different place than they would have expected to go and see a play. And that kind of got me thinking about ways to just engage the public and just really find a way to get people out of their house to come together and interact with people they don't know, people that they wouldn't even think that they want to interact with and share in a kind of experience that maybe they didn't think that they would have been interested in before. And so that's kind of where I started. And we've been in church basements. We've been in art galleries. What else am I missing?
Private homes.
Private homes, yeah. It's really, and you never really know what to expect. And what I've always found is the more intimate the audience is, just the closer they are to the action, the more they're really engaged with it, and the more that they're just kind of hanging on every word that we're presenting. And it's really a lot of fun to just be right there on top of them.
One thing that just occurred to me as an audience member, you could actually see the rest of the audience when these plays are done in outdoor spaces, which you typically don't get to see. Sometimes I'll look, and I'm curious whether an audience is as tickled as I am at a particular scene, or it can be fun to watch an audience, so that's something you get to do. How did you develop this passion to present Shakespeare this way?
Amy's telling the story about doing Shakespeare with stuffed animals. I arrived to it kind of late. I studied theater at Allegheny College, which Michael also attended there. We weren't there together. And I had, studied it, seen a few plays, and was like, oh, okay, this is fine. And then my senior year of college, I had played Jaques in As You Like It. And that kind of was where I really got bit and went, oh, can I do this all the time, only this, just every day? And I really actually at that point never thought that was possible. Over the next several years, I did some Shakespeare around Pittsburgh, started a company when I was about 24. It didn't last very long. And then I moved to Stanton, Virginia and studied at the American Shakespeare Center and got an MFA at Mary Baldwin College. And that's where I really got introduced to this idea of this really kind of small cast Shakespeare that I call it extreme casting Shakespeare.
I like the name. Yeah.
And I wrote a whole master's thesis on this extreme casting. And I kind of say it's based on two things. And one is...
It sounds like a PBS reality show, doesn't it? Extreme casting Shakespeare.
Right, right. Let's talk about that. Yeah. I kind of base this style kind of on two ideas. One is what gets presented at the American Shakespeare Center. You talked about, when you're performing Shakespeare outside, you're looking at the action, but you're also kind of looking at the audience. The ASC performs indoors in their, it's called the Blackfriars Playhouse. It's the recreation of the Shakespeare's indoor playhouse. And everything, you're fully lit. It's a universally lit playhouse. And they really encourage that, is to kind of be at one with your audience and to really be interacting with the play. And, they're like, and if, you kind of tune out, just kind of look at the people next to you and see how they're responding to it. And yeah, maybe, so-and-so is here, taking a little nap and, but somebody else is, really, really engaged, or, you're kind of just openly emoting and just really engaged with that. And I just have just amazing memories of seeing their work and working with them. And then as I was there, I got introduced to another company called Actors from the London Stage. And I'm sure a lot of people in colleges all over have gotten a chance to see their work. And they take 5-actor productions of Shakespeare, and they start in London and then they tour around the U.S. And I had the opportunity to see 2 of their shows when I was in grad school and really get a chance to work very closely with them to talk about their style and how they're presented and how they kind of choose how they break down the doubling. And I kind of said, okay, well, I think I want to do this. And what I found was actually different from their conclusions, which was, this is a great way to introduce people to Shakespeare, because it's really, really encouraging them to kind of sit forward in their seat and to really engage with it, because we aren't presenting everything. It's right there in the beginning of Henry V, as, into 1,000 parts divide one man, piece out our imperfections with your thoughts. And so we're going, we don't have a complete product here. It's actually very incomplete. We're talking to the air sometimes. And so you have to imagine with us what's not there. And suddenly I think it becomes much more of a communal experience that, we're creating something together, and it's a really kind of special thing.
It makes so much sense, and we talk about this in radio all the time. It's very similar because radio requires you to make your own imagery and focus on... there's a lot missing in radio because we've actually figured out how to filter the pictures from coming into your home. It's just the audio. But you have to make your own images, imagine things, integrate things. And that's true. I imagine you have a sparse wardrobe, if any, right?
Yeah. Michael's wife, Angela, if you're listening. Hi, Angela. Was really, really generous and had sewn some pieces for us. And that was really wonderful because before it's been a lot of, okay, what do we got in our closets that we can...
Do you change for each character?
Yeah, each character will put something on or maybe carry a prop that will kind of really signify like this is... So like Baraccio carries a flask out on stage because he's...
Okay,
he's
that's how... So that makes it... That cues the audience to know who the person is. And I just think it is a lot more accessible if... It's interesting because it's a lot easier to keep track of five people than 17. and I wanted to talk about this a bit, but it's cost effective to do a play.
Yes.
I being really blunt about it, I wasn't going to use the word lucrative, but cost effective.
We're working on the lucrative, but
one thing. And by the way, Steel City Shakespeare is who's here. SteelCityShakespeare.com or .org is where you can go.
.com.
Oh, it is .com. Should have quit when I was ahead. We've linked to their website from our website, Steel City Shakespeare Center, and it's just steelcityshakespeare.com, and you can find out all sorts of things about them there. And let me just mention again that they have performances today. They're going to bolt right as we close up today, because after I say goodbye to Mr. Chips, they're going to be heading to the Millvale Community Library this afternoon at 1:00. If you can't catch them today in Millvale, they'll be same place next week, June 11th at 1:00 at the Millvale Community Library. Tonight, 6:00, Troy Hill in Citizens Park. And that also tomorrow at 1 p.m., you might as well camp overnight.
We might. If the rain holds out, you know.
They'll be at Troy Hill Citizens Park as well. Heathside Cottage on June 10th and June 11th at 6:00. Where is Heathside Cottage?
It is on Katoma Street in Fineview. It's just right down the street from the Overlook.
I know right where it is. That's going to be a great space.
Oh, it's beautiful,
I know exactly where it is. And then Wiggle Whiskey to close things up on June 16th at 6:00. We have two more scenes, but I want to ask you all one question I was thinking about. Society's changing a little bit. This is an essay question, but it's an easy one, I promise. We're entertaining ourselves a lot more, right? Videos and games and commercials and so many different places. Is the prospect for acting as a career, do you think, are the prospects better than they were maybe 20 years ago? I'm just curious, are there more roles and more opportunities to apply your craft in today's environment? And there may not be an answer to that, but I was just kind of thinking about that while I was enjoying your last scene. Has anybody thought about that at all? I don't want to put you on the spot. Michael Young's about to say something. Let me turn your mic on. I'm sorry.
I think it sort of depends on where you are, where you find your life at the time. So Pittsburgh, there's a lot of things going on here. There's a lot of work, especially non-equity work that you can get that is maybe not, might just pay your bills. That's sort of how I get by. It's like, I can pay my bills, but I'm not really eating or drinking too much unless I have another job. So it's definitely possible. It's definitely doable. It still exists. And there's a lot of new ways of doing it. For example, there's a lot of different not so traditional theater going on. We also have now we have arcade comedy downtown. There's a lot of other things going on around the city that are not inherently you sit in a seat and you do a play and therefore you get a paycheck. You know, it's a, so there's other ways of doing it. And sometimes it's like being in a band. You know, you can make money when everybody makes money. And sometimes it's a little bit more formal. But I think it ultimately depends on where you are and who you are working with and for.
Interesting. Anybody else have any observations on that? And again, I don't want to put you on the spot whatsoever.
I guess, I don't know, the perspective I've kind of adopted is more, you know, thinking in terms of how theater as an art form needs to continue to evolve and you know, how, you know, we it's kind of up to us to kind of keep finding new audiences because that's really how we can survive. So, like, if we can make a living as artists, it's continuing to find younger audiences and you know, develop and discover their thirst and their passion for what we're presenting. And, you know, so that's kind of the challenge that I think I've been taking up over the last couple of years. And, you know, what I've really been trying to do is, you know, find that next generation and you know, find a way that we can evolve this art so that it can continue to thrive. And, you know, because we've got such a great scene here in Pittsburgh and it's, you know, you have kind of your mainstay theaters, you've got your Pittsburgh Public, you've got your CLO, you know, and then you've got, you know, a lot of these little companies and kind of everything varying in size between, you know, five actors doing Shakespeare and, you know, a big company. But it's, you know, just really trying to find ways to interact and discover new audiences and find out what they want to see.
Brittany, you looked like you were going to add something.
I did. I just wanted to say that the Pittsburgh theater community is one of the most welcoming places. Mm-hmm. We have a massive amount of talent and new works popping up all over the city constantly, but also through Facebook and through different social media aspects, you can really find a way to help out in any aspect. They're always looking for ushers or a volunteer day or pay as you will, which is what Steel City does, but also a bunch of other companies in the area are doing that. And as an actor, you get to go out every weekend and you can see a different play and see amazing people doing it. And that's a great thing.
One reason I'm bringing this up is I think sometimes people don't think much, people in general, that is, that being an actor is a career. It's something you do. You are an artist and an actor. We had a boy in eighth grade sitting right where Amy is this morning who talked about wanting to be a musician but was sort of tentative about that, thinking, you know, can you really do that for a living? And you can. There's lots of roles to do in it. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be up on a stage playing. You might be doing some other things as a musician. Amy or Tim, did you want to add anything? You're welcome. You can also pass.
just a little bit. Just that, I mean, you were mentioning like how things have changed and, you know, you can go on the internet, you can see anybody in the world do anything. Mm-hmm. So in that way, like theater and any kind of performance has become much more competitive because you are easily compared to anyone in the world. Mm. But you can't replace that personal connection of a live performance. And I think that is something that is worth keeping alive, and it is still alive.
One of the things, you know, from my perspective, it's a little bit different since I am not a professional actor. And I agree. I totally second Brittany that I felt
extreme. You are now.
I'm now a professional actor.
Hang on. Let me give you a buck.
But I think, you know, one of the reasons that for me theater is really fascinating is one of the issues that I'm really concerned with is unemployment, and we have unemployment is something that we don't typically think about except in terms of some economic kind of factor.
You mean generally,
generally, not simply among, you know, the artistic communities. I think one of the things that we might think about with the arts is what would be the kind of institutions that we have for people that are unemployed. So rather than thinking about it in this way where it's like, oh, where can actors get employment, but actually think about people who are not professional actors, bringing them into a community space where they can work together and learn many different skills. Because you learn so many skills in theater where you put together the sets, you do the lighting, you learn social skills. So I think that that's another way you might approach that same question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a great observation. Gosh, I lost my train of thought. You had me thinking of something that you said. It's not often that I lose my train of thought, but I just did. I like the idea of thinking about it in terms of unemployment is actually really interesting. Steel City Shakespeare is here with us. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. We have two more scenes from Much Ado About Nothing. Jeff, do you need to set up this first scene?
Sure, yes. So the first scene, or I guess the third scene, but the first one we'll do of these two, is from Act 2, Scene 1. It's the end of the scene, and it's myself as Don Pedro, Michael Young as Leonardo, Tim Barr as Claudio, and Brittany Teague as Hero. And we are setting up pretty much how the rest of the play is going to play out is we've introduced Beatrice and Benedict who just are kind of repulsed by each other, and we said, you know what, this would be fun to make these two people fall in love, and so let's kind of come up with a plan to get them to fall in love with each other, and I actually start the scene. By my troth, a pleasant-spirited lady.
There's little of the melancholy element in her, my lord. She is never sad, but when she sleeps, is not ever sad then, for I have heard my daughter say she hath dreamed of unhappiness and waked herself with laughing.
She cannot endure to hear tell of a husband.
Oh, by no means. She mocks all her wooers out of suit.
She were an excellent wife for Benedict.
Oh, lord, my lord, if they were but a week married, they would talk themselves mad.
County Claudio, when mean you to go to church?
Tomorrow, my lord. Time goes on crutches till love have all his rights.
Not till Monday, my dear son, which is hence just a seven knife and time too brief to have all things answer my mind.
Come, you shake the head at so long a breathing, but I warrant thee, Claudio, the time shall not go dully by us. I will in the interim undertake one of Hercules' labors, which is to bring Signor Benedict and the Lady of Beatrice into a mountain of affection, the one with the other. I would fain have it a match, and I doubt not but to fashion it, if you three will but minister such assistance as I shall give you direction.
My lord, I am for you.
And I, my lord.
And you too, gentle hero.
I will do any modest office, my lord, to find my cousin a good husband.
And Benedict is not the most unhopefulest husband that I know. Thus far can I praise him. He is of a noble strain, of approved valor and confirmed honesty. I will teach you how to humor your cousin that she shall fall in love with Benedict, and I, with your two helps, will so practice on Benedict that in despite of his quick wit and his queasy stomach, he shall fall in love with Beatrice. If we do this, Cupid is no longer an archer. His glory shall be ours, for we are the only love gods. Go in with me, and I will tell you my drift.
A terrific scene. It's really fun to watch these guys. I have to tell you, as much as I have been describing how wonderful it is to hear on the radio, you need to come and see them and watch them kind of become the people that they're playing and also interact with each other as they work together. I remembered the train of thought that I lost before, and I want to bring it up, not because I think it is important. I think people these days, I hope at least, are starting to crave live performances. I think we've been bombarded with so much pre-recorded, pre-packaged, overly heavily produced things, as well as local performances, and also quirk, for lack of a better name, where you have this casting method where we've got extreme casting Shakespeare soon, series on PBS, and where you just have a chance to actually see people that are working together to create something out of nothing right in front of you. So I do hope you'll consider learning more. SteelCityShakespeare.com is the website, and also looking for these guys, these men and women in Millville, Troy Hill, Fineview, and Wiggle Whiskey coming up. There's one more scene that they're about to do that we'll close out with. It's our last chance to talk. Did anybody want to say anything I might have forgotten? Besides another shout out to Amy's brother, David.
But, yes, thanks, David.
Thank you for having us.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. So much.
Thank you. I hope we can do it again. Yeah. If not, certainly in any of your endeavors within or not in the company. Those T-shirts are great, by the way. Do you sell those?
We sell these at all our shows. You can't see them because it's radio.
It's a sort of a Warhol-esque.
My cousin designed this this logo, which you'll see on our website, stillcityshakespeare.com. My cousin is Sheila Kowalski. She lives in California, or not California, South Carolina, and she's about to have a baby any minute.
They're so alike. No, I'm sorry.
But, she did this logo for us, and so we have the Aldeburgs Estate, and they're available for $20 at all our shows. I also did want to say that all of our performances are pay what you will, so everyone is welcome. If you want to come, just come, and we really encourage you as much as you can donate. We just really appreciate that. That really helps us. We have to pay everybody, and we have another production of Pride and Prejudice coming up this fall, and so it's our way to kind of keep sustaining ourselves. So please, come and if you have a lot of money, you have a little bit of money. Come anyway and just give as generously as you can, because we really appreciate anything.
That's a great way to ensure equity, too, so that all audiences can enjoy the productions. Before they close out, because I'd like them to have the last word, more or less, today, I want to thank Ian Neumeyer, from Find Some Flow for being with us today, Taylor Knight and Anna Thompson, dancers behind the duo Slow Danger, for joining us earlier, and Nick Wingfield to talk about the Jazz Live Performance Series for preschool children, Dan Hensley, Bonnie McClosey, and Suzanne Thinnis from Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh, our Fairchild Challenge honorees. Thank you for being with us. Also, Izzy from the guitarists that we had playing earlier, and we thank Jackson for being with us, and Ben. And finally, Steel City Shakespeare with our closing scene for today. And this is Jeff is going to tell us all about it.
Oh, yes. Okay, so this is our last scene here is from Act 3, Scene 4, and we're going to introduce you a little bit to the extreme casting where we have the lovely Brittany Teague will be playing Hero and Margaret, and this is just before the wedding, and they're talking to Michael Young as Beatrice.
These gloves the Count sent me, they are in an excellent perfume.
I am stuffed, cousin. I cannot smell.
A maid and stuffed, that's goodly catching of a cold.
Oh, God, help me. How long have you professed apprehension?
Ever since you left it. Doth not my wit become me rarely?
It is ne'er seen enough you should wear it in your cap. By my troth, I am sick.
Get you some of this distilled Carneadus Benedictus and lay it on your heart. It is the only thing for a qualm. There thou prickest her with a thistle.
Benedictus? Why Benedictus? Have you some moral in this Benedictus?
Moral? No, by my troth, I have no moral meaning. I meant plain, holy thistle. You may think perchance that I think you are in love. Nay, by lady, I'm not such a fool to think what I list, nor I list not to think what I can, nor indeed I cannot think. If I would think my heart out of thinking that you are in love, or that you will be in love, or that you can be in love. Yet Benedict was such another, and now he's become a man. He swore he would never marry, and yet now, in despite of his heart, he eats the meat without grudging. And how you may be converted, I know not, but methinks you look with your eyes as a number of women do.
What pace is this thy tongue keeps?
Not a false gallop.
Wow, that was just terrific. Thank you, all five of you. Thanks to Michael Makita for arranging all of this, outreach director at steelcityshakespeare.com. That's how you can find them.